WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and Greg David joins me now from Crane's New York Business and the CUNY Journalism School. Yesterday, he moderated the first debate among the five Republican mayoral hopefuls, and he joins me now with some highlights and his thoughts. Hi, Greg. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Glad to be here.
And for those listeners who are not such total political junkies that they could recite the names of all five Republican hopefuls, they are Joe Loda, the former MTA chairman and Giuliani official, John Catsimatidis, owner of the Gristiti supermarket chain, George McDonald, president of the Doe Fund, a work program for homeless people, Tom Allen, owner of the Manhattan Media Publishing Group, and Adolfo Carrion, the former Bronx Borough president and Obama urban affairs advisor. And since this was a Republican primary debate, before we even get into the clips, did they try to out-conservative one another, as we saw in the Republican presidential debates last year?
No, I don't really think so. You know, what a Republican is in New York City is very different from what a Republican is in most places of the country. So they did not, I think, try to out-conservative each other. But if you want, the bottom line on this debate is that they are different than the four Democratic candidates. So there are differences. But no, they did not try to out-conservative each other.
And on how they are different, you know, I moderated a forum last week sponsored by the Community Service Society and the Union 32BJ and some other liberal activist groups about issues of interest to lower-income workers. It was the Democratic candidates plus two from your debate, Carrion and Allen. We've done three segments about it on the show. And, you know, some of the strongest emotion at my forum was around the city council's paid sick leave bill, which everybody there was for except Christine Quinn. So is that the kind of thing they debated at yesterday's forum, given that Carrion and Tom Allen support paid sick leave? And would you say that business in general, sort of being business friendly as opposed to low wage worker friendly, if those are really disparate, was kind of at the crux of the differences between Democrats and Republicans so far?
Well, to the first question, yes. As a matter of fact, I not only asked about paid sick leave, but my broader question was whether inequality in the city is a serious problem, and if so, should the city government do something about it? They do differ from the Democrats because they have a much more complicated and nuanced view on inequality. Actually, Joe Loda quoted from my print column Monday, which explores that issue in some depth. But three of them do oppose the sick leave bill. Tom Allen does support it, although I would say cautiously. And Carrion actually decided not to answer the question, even though we know he does support it. But if you go beyond sick leave to minimum wage, which was a big topic in your forum and I was asked about again, there is general support for a minimum wage increase among these Republicans, but most of them want to accompany it with a lower minimum wage for training and for workers who haven't reached a certain age yet. So even on the minimum wage, I think there's a nuance between the Democrats, one of whom, John Liu, wants to take it to $11.50, and what these candidates said.
So, for example, here is candidate Tom Allen from yesterday's forum talking about inequality, sick leave, minimum wage.
Inequality is really not what we should be talking about. We should be talking about upward mobility. In America, you're not guaranteed a quality of outcomes. You're guaranteed, hopefully, the same access and the ability to move up. And that's what I think we're talking about. You know, sick leave, minimum wage, government can do things creatively. It's not, life is not always about black and white. There's grays. we can have a dual minimum wage, one that's $7.25 for people under the age of 22, 23 years old who are not supporting families, and $8.50 or $9 for people who actually are supporting families. The same thing, I think, can be true of sick leave. I run a small business. I actually want my people to have 5 days of sick leave each year, because when they come to work sick and they infect four people next to them, that's bad business. What we should do is couple sick leave with incentives to small businesses to put wellness programs in place in the workplace. So I think government can do things intelligently and creatively that can help both sides of the equation, and that's why I'm in favor of that.
All right, I guess that's what a New York Republican sounds like, Tom Allen, with his take on inequality, sick leave under the law, minimum wage. A little more hardcore was George McDonald. Listen to him on the minimum wage.
If the minimum wage were $50 an hour, it wouldn't make a bit of difference to a man or woman who didn't have a job. What we need in this city are jobs. I've spent 25 years creating jobs for people at the bottom of our society. I know about inequity. Nobody needs to tell me about inequity. I've been helping the men and women who have come out of our penal institutions. The mass incarceration of African-American men may have made us safer, but it leaves us with generation after generation of broken families that are uneducated, that don't have that have multiple barriers to employment, and yet we overcome that. At the Doe Fund, we've always paid above the minimum wage, and our graduates get jobs that are over $11 an hour. Now, why do we need government to create an artificial wage, control the wage, when the people are actually getting jobs above what they say the minimum wage is?
Republican mayor hopeful George McDonald at yesterday's forum, moderated by my guest, Greg David from the CUNY Journalism School and Crane's New York Business. Greg, do you want to comment on anything from either of those clips?
Well, I do think I want to comment on the clips and the general point you made about whether they were a more pro-business audience. If you listen to the Democrats, they sound very pro-business on small business issues. The issues of fines are key in the Democratic debates that people do, and that the city isn't doing enough or oppressing small businesses. And we heard a lot about that yesterday, too. What we heard more of is that these candidates were much more in favor of tax incentives where appropriate to keep businesses. John Liu frequently says at these forums he wants all tax incentives ended tomorrow. And I also think that one of the things we heard was a lot of concern about the budget. There were a number of people who said they would not support higher taxes. But when I did raise the issue of the city's very complicated and distorted property tax system, which provides enormous tax breaks for residential owners, originally single-family houses and now co-ops and condos, and we've reached a point where luxury condos pay a fraction of the real estate taxes that rental buildings do, not one of them was willing to commit to reform, and not one of them was willing to touch that topic. So there are places they won't go.
Interesting. Let's turn to education. And we're going to play a clip of Adolfo Carrion here in just a minute. On education, Democrats tend to emphasize less reliance on standardized tests and fixing rather than closing troubled schools and not forcing charter schools into the same buildings as regular public schools. They're also more behind the teachers union in some of their evaluation and labor disputes with the city. How did they talk about Mayor Bloomberg's education record yesterday, and how would they move away from his policies?
Well, I do think they tried to create some distinctions with the mayor, and they are different. Tom Allen is emphasizing the issue of better teachers and how to get teachers better. He also has ideas. He said he wanted to rebuild every New York City public school in the next 20 years by selling air rights. John Catsimatidis is a little different. He actually wants to go back to the past in which vocational training is emphasized in schools so that we identify people who aren't going to college and provide them with a skill. Nobody's very enthusiastic.
Didn't Obama also talk about that, by the way, in his State of the Union address?
He did, but I think Catsimatidis is a little more old-fashioned than even Obama was.
Go ahead.
I think that I did try to push the charter schools issue. Some of them supported charter schools. Some of them tried to stay away from it. But I think this is an incredibly significant difference that you brought up. In the Democratic campaign, winning the endorsement of the United Federation of Teachers is the goal of every one of the four candidates. Three of the five candidates specifically said that one of the major problems in our schools is the UFT and the fact that it defends the 10% of teachers who are not competent.
Who said that?
And all vowed to do something about that.
All right. So here's our education clip. This is Adolfo Carrión, Democrat in the process of trying to turn Republican, I guess is the best way to characterize it. And maybe we hear a little bit of that being on the border in this clip.
We've created a system now that is aimed at testing and dumping the information that's collected into a moment. We've sacrificed critical thinking. You look at the voter participation levels, the civic engagement across the country, not just in our city. Happens to be that in our city, 3 in 10 voters showed up to elect the last mayor. 7 of 10 voters stayed home. I think Mayor Bloomberg moved the needle. I think testing has to be reformed and expanded to include much more than just the information that's memorized. I think that the teacher evaluation impasse is embarrassing and needs to be resolved. They need to get behind closed doors and not come out until they resolve that issue, because the number one priority is the student.
Adolfo Carrión. Did they get specific, did any of them, Greg, on how they would get past this teacher evaluation impasse that the mayor is at with the teachers union? He insists that any evaluation system lasts longer than 2 years, because otherwise there wouldn't be enough time in the system to even get to firing a teacher based on their evaluations. Did anybody take a stand?
No, and as a matter of fact, most of them didn't deal with it directly, except for the 3 who said that getting rid of incompetent teachers was high on their priority list. So, no, they didn't actually come up with a specific solution for the immediate impasse.
Would you say that in general, one of the biggest differences between the Democrats and Republicans is their general positions on wages and benefits for public sector employees? You mentioned the teachers union, but the Democrats tend to compete for those public sector union endorsements, as we mentioned. Are any of the Republicans going for any of those endorsements, or is this just a basic partisan distinction in New York City this year?
Well, I don't know the specific answer to that question, but in general, I do think there's a difference. Every one of the 5 candidates on the panel yesterday ruled out retroactive raises for city workers. City workers have not had a contract or a raise since 2010, 2008 for teachers. If they got raises equal to the rate of inflation, the bill would be $10 billion. And when asked that question, everyone ruled out retroactive increases. Virtually the entire panel said that they would insist that city workers begin contributing to the cost of their health care, which state workers do and everyone in the private sector does. So I don't think those are the kind of positions that would endear them to the municipal union. So while I don't know specifically that no one on that panel is seeking a union endorsement, their general attitude is different, and it is a major difference between the candidates.
I think another difference between the parties is at least how in public they assess Mayor Bloomberg's tenure. All the candidates who were Democrats at the forum that I moderated went out of their way to say how they felt that he fell short, especially with respect to lower income New Yorkers. For you, at the beginning of the debate, you asked all the candidates to rate Mayor Bloomberg on a scale of 1 to 10 and then offer one thing that they would like to change from his policies. And I think all 5 on your Republican panel gave him a 9 or a 10, right?
Actually, only Carrión was an 8. Ah. Most people were a 9, and McDonald went all the way to 10. Yes, and I would be shocked if John Wu and Bill de Blasio got above a 5. I do hope somebody asked the question, because I really want to know what Christine Quinn would do on that question.
Yes, and she's trying to be the candidate in the middle, and we'll get to that. But here is part of John Catsimatidis' answer to that question. He rated Bloomberg a 9. And as we'll hear, mostly for his economic leadership. But then this.
We went through a recession in the country, and New York felt it less. Can we do things better? Yes. One of the things I don't like is those bicycle lanes. I think it impedes traffic, and it really hurts the traffic system in New York City. I don't like the taxi cabs. I think they're a little bit too small for comfort. Maybe I'm just a big guy. The education system, I think he's tried very, very hard, and I appreciate what he has done. But like I said previously, I think we have to fix the education system to give the dropouts a choice of what to do. And the choice I picked was that we should give them the ability to do vocational subjects and be able to live the American dream.
John Katsimatidis. And I heard the applause line in there, Greg. Was there a lot of bike lane bashing yesterday?
No, there wasn't. That was about the only one. And I was actually asked if I was going to ask about it. And I said in the end, I actually thought there were a lot more important issues for me to cover it in this debate. So, I mean, bike lanes is getting a lot of attention. But given, I mean, I don't think it's like fundamental to the city's future. Do you?
No, but they seem to be trying to hook it. The candidates who want to pounce on the bike lanes, not always as Katsimatidis did there, saying they're an impediment to traffic, but on the process, on this idea that the communities aren't being engaged enough to make the decisions. And honestly, I think Joe Loda brought that up at your, I don't know if it was in relation to bike lanes, but didn't Loda talk yesterday about the mayor doing too many pilot projects in general?
Yes, he did. That was his major answer to the question that you just played, that the mayor does too many pilot projects, doesn't evaluate them, and we need to go through them and pare them out. But you know what? If you step back from that, you know, I was thinking as you played that clip, I can hardly remember the answers to those questions because their differences weren't that memorable. I mean, I remember that's what Loda said, and Tom Allen went off immediately on education, which is his big issue. But, yeah, you know, they weren't like memorable answers. They weren't like important disagreements. I mean, of course, let's get rid of bad private projects, but that's not like a fundamental shift in Bloomberg administration policy.
All right. Now, you also made some news at the debate inadvertently, I think, when you called Rudy Giuliani a jerk for things he did in 2001 in a question to Joe Loda. You've since apologized for it. We're going to play the question right now.
You know, I spent the weekend reading about 2001, and I was trying to figure out what word to apply to Rudy Giuliani that year, but jerk comes to mind.
Wow.
And actually, I correct myself. That was a question to all the candidates, but we're going to play Joe Loda's response, since he actually worked in the Giuliani administration. Let's take a listen.
David, 20 years ago, the city of New York cried out for the need for leadership. The city was called ungovernable, unmanageable. It was unlivable. For you to disparage the 107th mayor of the city of New York with the words that you used, when you look at what he did during those 8 years in office, where you actually saw the economy expanding, jobs expanding, I would imagine even the number of Cranes subscriptions actually increased during that same period of time. Look, what does it mean to be a Republican in the city of New York? It's actually an extraordinary experience, because you're actually talking about doing different things than the normal course in which they're done. What we need to understand, and we need to be fiscally conservative, we need to try new ideas, we need to be socially progressive. It's out of sync with the National Republican Party, but after all, we are New York City.
So, Greg, give us the inside story there. Were you planning to say that the way that you did?
Well, I thought about it, and then I thought maybe I shouldn't. The question was, why do you deserve to be the Republican candidate? Carrion still isn't a Republican. Allen and McDonald were Democrats until recently. Katsimatidis has been all over the place. He actually describes himself as a Clinton Democrat in his response to this. But for Loda, the question was, what kind of Republican will you be? Because after all, you were a key member of the Giuliani administration. And of course, what I should have said was, you were a key member of the Giuliani administration, which the people in this, but the return of Rudy Giuliani might be welcomed by people in this room, but may not be welcomed by a lot of voters in the November election. So that's what I should have asked. So, A, it was inappropriate on my part because I offended a large part of that audience, and I'm not in the business of doing that in the panel. But mostly, I failed to make my point so that Lota could answer it. And Lota sent me an email last night saying that if you had asked the question right, I would have answered, no, I am not going to be the return of Rudy Giuliani. And that is an important issue in this campaign, and a more adept moderator will undoubtedly pursue it in the coming months.
So in our last minute for the self-effacing, Greg David from Crane's New York Business, who I noticed Joe Lota called David instead of Greg in that answer. Let me do a little bit of political analysis of my own and get some of yours. Lota is the elephant in the room. He's got the experience. He can raise the money. He's got Rudy. Katsimatidis is a billionaire and already spending money on political ads. But many people think he comes across as a lightweight, to say the least.
To be frank, he did yesterday. He was clearly the least well-prepared on the issues.
Allen and McDonald, very interesting, on top of the issues. McDonald is really conservative. Allen impresses people as very thoughtful and not ideological. But neither of them have any money, and both have limited relevant experience, you could argue. And Carrion, who also has no money, is a Democrat who worked for Obama. So it's very hard already to see how Lota is not the nominee unless he blows it on the campaign trail. What do you think?
Well, I'd agree with that, but then I'd go further. You know, I met with Tom Allen Oaks a bunch of times last year, and actually he's come so far in terms of his knowledge of the city. He's running. I think he's actually running for a job in the next administration, but that's just a guess on my part. But yes, he was very impressive yesterday. McDonald's a lot better than when I had lunch with him like 4 months ago, so he's on an upward learning curve. I don't understand the Carrion thing at all. He's being dogged by these stories about scandals emanating from his time as borough president and his last run for office. We did a poll of the people in the room, and like Lota gets like 70-80% both on how well he did on the debate and what his chances are to win. He's clearly the favorite of the Republican establishment.
All right. Greg David from Crane's New York Business and the CUNY Journalism School, who moderated yesterday's forum with the five Republican New York City mayoral hopefuls. Greg, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Dan Baum on being a Jewish guy from New Jersey who understands gun culture. Stay with us.